This is Manga Cubed, episode 110, coming to you after the week of Obon, your one-stop for manga news and commentary for the week of August 25th, 2014. I'm your main host, Derek, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mo.
Good. Morning.
Good, whenever, whatever time you're listening to this, people.
Afternoon.
Yes.
From here,
yes, indeed. This week, we have had a restful and recuperating week off, and now it is time for us to get back into the daily,
lots
weekly...
Last week, though.
Yeah, yes, things have happened. I have the possibility of getting a job that doesn't suck, maybe. Who knows? I just interviewed for it. I'm hopeful. I also kind of think that, compared to a lot of the other people that I've interviewed for it, I am probably one of the more experienced ones, so fingers crossed.
And I may just be able to figure out what is wrong with my skin. It might have to be something that's already existed, or, well, either way, I might have to get some confirmation on what's wrong with my skin.
Oh, dear.
Supposedly it might be atopic dermatitis.
Good update. good update.
Yeah, good update. Wait, what update?
You know. But anyway, let's go ahead and talk about manga, shall we? We have some comic rankings, the most recent ones, the Japanese comic rankings for August 11th through the 17th. Starting in 10th place, we have Yume no Shizuku Kin no Torikago, Volume 5.
9th place is Yamushi Pedal, Volume 35.
I need to watch that anime. It's,
the bicycle one, yeah.
Yeah, it looks kind of interesting.
I wonder if Lance Armstrong makes, like a guest appearance. Like, I mean, not like a direct appearance, but like...
Or they make a Lance Armstrong reference or something.
Yeah, reference for him.
That'd be kind of interesting. Let's see. 8th place, The Seven Deadly Sins, Volume 10.
Not bad. 7th place, Attack on Titan, No Regrets, Volume 2, Special Edition.
6th place, Attack on Titan, No Regrets, Volume 2.
5th place, P2JK, Volume 5.
4th place, Haikyuu, Volume 12.
3rd place, Naruto, Volume 7.
D. 70. 2nd place, Silver Spoon, Volume 12.
1st place, Attack on Titan, Volume 14.
Of course. With, in 2 weeks, a total of 1.3 million copies sold, basically. Although, compared to One Piece, that is not even close. So it looks like maybe the Attack on Titan fervor is legitimately dying down. Indeed. All right. New York Times manga bestseller list, August 10th through the 16th. In 10th place, we have Attack on Titan Volume 1.
Good grief!
Yes, we are somewhat behind in that fervor, are we not?
9th place, Dragonar Academy Volume 3.
8th place, Rosario plus Vampire Season 2 Volume 13.
7th place, Attack on Titan No Regrets Volume 1.
Oh, hey. 6th place, Food Wars Volume 1.
Yay! 5th place, Loveless Volume 12.
4th place, Fairy Tail Volume 41.
Mm-hmm. 3rd place, Dead Man Wonderland Volume 4.
2nd place, Bleach Volume 61.
Is that... You know, when I first saw Volume... What was it? Volume 10? Of a Bleach, you know, the one Zangetsu.
Yeah.
I thought the cover was upside down. I was like, did someone draw this upside, like, wrong? Or, oh, it's just...
No, that's meant to be like that.
I know, it's very confusing.
Indeed.
Anyways, 1st place, Crimson Spell Volume 5.
Excellent, and for the North American anime and manga releases for August 17th through the 23rd, not many anime releases, we have A Certain Scientific Railgun Season 2 DVD Part 2.
I need to watch A Certain Anime series and the other one. Mm. Mayochiki, Blu-ray Complete Collection and DVD Complete Collection.
Manga releases Attack on Titan Before the Fall, Volume 2.
Dorohedoro, Volume 13. Oh, I need to get back and do that. Mm.
Gangsta, Volume 3.
Oh, I think that's having an anime. Haganai, I Don't Have Many Friends, Volume 8.
The Heroic Legend of Arslan, Volume 1.
Mm. Ishigami, The Ultimate Limit, Volume 10.
Monster Musume, Volume 4.
Strike Witches, 1937, Fusoshi Incident Volume 1. What is Strike Witches?
I don't know. Something about witches.
It's like lollies with rocket legs or something.
Yeah, I don't care. Tsubasa Reservoir Chronicle Omnibus 1.
Okay. For other releases, we have Alice's Adventures in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass Illustrated Novel. Ooh!
It's going to be weird. All right, we have Sword Art Online Hollow Fragment for the PlayStation Vita.
Oh, that one. I heard about that game a bit. Mm. And Tales of Zillia 2 for the PlayStation 3.
Indeed. All right, then. What other news do we have here?
Okay. I know you all probably know this, but I'm just going to mention it again. Hunter x Hunter manga goes on 2-week hiatus due to back pain. Togashi's back pain.
Indeed.
Okay, yeah. Now, I do understand that he does a great series. People do not shut up about talking it at time. Mm-hmm. And I do understand that it's a great series, but his lower back pain, that's actually finally an excuse we get to actually get instead of him just going, oh, I'm just going to disappear and play Dragon Quest or something.
Yeah, that is kind of interesting how now that he has an actual legitimate international attention, as in, you know, legally, people are suddenly like, hey, maybe we should give an excuse for why he's not doing anything. And so if this is what the reason why he takes breaks, then yeah, that would
He's about 8 to 9 years older than Oda and Kishimoto, according to some threads I read. Yeah. I'm like, okay, but it's because, you know, some people thought he was like 20 years older than them. It's like, what? No, he's not
that much older. But yeah, so well, hopefully he gets better soon.
Yeah. I mean, you know, no matter what, it doesn't matter if it's a hiatus. If they're in pain, they gotta get better. Even if it might be a made up lie. Anyways, if they're in pain, they have to get better.
Indeed. All right. What else do we have?
Okay. Yen Press adds Toya Mikanagi's Carnival manga.
Okay, what's it about?
Circus, freight train hijacking. Some guy gets involved with these people called the National Defense Agency. Their name called Circus. Mm-hmm. And he did this, you know, adventure.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, yeah. Okay, fair enough.
I've seen this floating around a few times. I should probably get down at some point, too.
Alright, what else do we have?
Okay, Crunchyroll manga adds Bokura wa Mina Kawaiso and the legend Onikirimaru.
Oh, nice.
Wait, you know one of them?
Yeah, the Bokura Mina Kawaiso. Yes, I remember that. Remember that was the one that I was...
Oh, that one!
Yes. That one. The one that where I was one. Like, oh, that's some nice character design.
I just
there.
Realized the name Kawaii. I just realized the name Kawaisu there. I'm like, oh, wait, that one. I just read the description. Oh, wait, that one you've been talking to me about the whole time.
Yeah, not that much.
Have you been watching it?
Yeah, I got bored.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know. It does. I've read the manga here and there, and it does have some fun. It does have some fun moments. So. Yeah, I have to say, yes, there are some moments where I'm like, oh, this is quite nice. So.
Okay, and the other one is kind of like a historical fiction, in a way, story. Okay. About this cursed blade called the Onikirimaru.
Okay.
It kind of reminds me of that movie called The Red Violin. That movie is crazy.
Okay, I can't say.
Basically, I'm assuming that with this Curse of Blade, that throughout history, people have the sword, and then something horrible happens to them, and they die. Because I've seen these names, and I know that all three of these guys died.
Huh.
No, seriously. In history.
Oh, well, obviously in history they've died since then. Because...
Well, the former, apparently, they keep saying incident at Honnoji, and I'm like, okay, just say he died. No, he just disappeared.
Eventually, he died.
Reed Drifters. It's actually a nice take on what happened to him.
Yes. Yeah, sure. That is totally what happened to him.
Yeah, I like that. I like that take. Anyways, more important news. Attack on Titan editor says manga is going to end in 3 to 4 years. Okay. Now, if we all remember, Isayama said that he wants to be able to end the series within 20 volumes. We're on the 14th now, as of Japan.
Right.
6 more volumes. Hmm. So, if a new chapter comes up every month...
Right.
Would that be able to finish it within 20 volumes within 3-4 years, or...
Not sure. Think it might. I think it could. I don't know, I don't really care.
I hope so, because, you know, it's...
I don't really care whether it exceeds 20 or not.
So. And watch it 3 or 4 years, we'll be like, wait, what happened? And all of a sudden say, oh, the manga's not going to end. It's going to extend another 1 to 2 years.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, cool.
I mean, with One Piece, we had all those saying, you know, I want to continue for the next 10 more years, for another extra 10 years or something.
Indeed. All right. What else do we have?
Oh, here's something interesting. Viz is going to preview almost all new Shonen Jump series from Japan. So this time will and it'll actually start on September 8th. So this means, wait, hang on. Announced as it's live, when the first three chapters of almost every single new series that debuts in Shueisha's original weekly. So basically, it looks like we'll get a chance to actually see these three new series that come out at the same time Japan gets.
Oh, that'd be nice. That'd be quite nice, actually.
The question is, will we get to be able to vote on what gets to stay, too? Or will we still just be reading and letting the Japanese handle everything?
I don't know. We shall have to see, I guess.
I wonder what these three new series are, because I know apparently some are ending, and it's kind of sad, but, you know.
Oh, well. All right. Fair enough. All right, then. Let's see. I think we're done
with that's it for the news.
That's it for the news. Okay, let's do a quick review of Fairy Tail, Volume 41. And this one, it's been a while. We picked this one off, and I also have to say that, of course, the cover page of the volume is a very fan service-y kind of cover.
Just of who?
Flair.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't even have to do anything special. Just her general outfit, her just being on page is enough to be massive fan service.
Yes, my wife. I mean,
sorry, what did you say?
I said nothing.
Indeed. All right, then. Well, this volume we deal with the fight between the between them and those treasure hunters, or at least they. Yeah, and that finishes pretty quickly, and then it turns out that there's this guy going around turning everyone into kids, so Urza and Natsu are kids now, and then Gray becomes a kid, and fortunately the other girls don't become kids, otherwise this would have gotten really weird. But fortunately for them, Flair shows up, thus increasing the fan service potential by 50%, pretty much. Mm. Yep, and so she reveals that she was, you know, that she actually grew up in the village with the giants. And then she came back because, you know, she'd been a jerk because Raventail had been the first guild that she was with. So she was like, wait, is this how we are supposed to act? Okay.
Yeah.
But then once she's away, she's like, oh, wait, what's going on here? And she decides to go back home, and so she's fighting to protect her family, basically. And they defeat the treasure hunters. And then, let's see, more fan service. I mean, they're not even trying very hard. It's just, she just seems to bring fan service with her wherever she goes. And then, let's see, we go back to Urza versus Minerva. Gray gets turned into a kid as well, and he fights the demon guy that's turning them into kids, and it turns out, hey, he's in trouble because he is, you know, he's a kid and he is no longer strong, so. Yeah, and then we get a scene, a flashback to Ur, and of course it's a flashback to her naked ass. I'm like, okay, then that's, whatever. But yeah, so...
Really, why does it keep being a flashback to her being naked?
I know, it's like, Gray, do you have issues? But yeah, and then we've got... Yeah, so Gray ends up using his smarts to fight the demon. And fortunately, thanks to his ability to fight smart, the demon's magic reverts and everyone turns back to adults. And of course, Urza continues fighting without her pants. Because after she turned into a kid, her pants were too small and they fell off. So now that she's an adult, she is only wearing her shirt. And of course, you don't see anything, but at the same time, she is now kicking... For some reason, Urza has decided, I am going to kick Minerva, therefore letting the readers know that my vagina is on full display, but you can't see it. Ha 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 ha. That is exactly...
You're hard out history song 7 can be. I mean...
No. Yeah, but no, but... I mean, this is just ridiculous. I mean, I'm going to put in a token complaint against the fan service because I don't want to come across as a complete massive pervert for not saying, I am insulted by this fan service. Get your succulent legs away from me, you cartoon character. I mean, what? No, but seriously, you know, I mean, you know, as a podcaster of manga, I of course need to adopt the stance of fan service bad, I good progressive person. I think girls not supposed to be naked all the time, which is actually a good opinion to have, but at the same time, it is kind of silly how most podcasts seem to... I don't even know how many of them are actually legit about it, but the majority of them are, look, fan service, we don't care for fan service.
Wait. When Urza kicked Minerva, was it just after she became her normal self again, or just for right before?
She was her normal self, because in the screen, it actually shows in detail as Urza is laying on the ground. It actually shows her cup size grew 3 sizes that day.
Dang.
No, wait. Her breasts grew 3 sizes that day. No, I'm pretty sure that was more than 3 sizes. But needless to say, Mashima, as much as I am not one of those, fan service is bad kind of guys, I do have to say, good grief, man. Do you just want to draw porn? Is that what you want to do?
Well, she couldn't use magic at that moment, so she had to kick.
Well, do keep in mind that the only magic she uses is to summon swords.
Oh, yeah, good point. Why didn't she just do that? Well, she didn't want to cut
him. Because she it requires a strong, virile, adult body to be able to fight like she does, and I am going to stop using uncomfortable words like that. But anyway.
Yeah, especially since the beginning, the volume was...
No, not virile. Fertile? What's the female version of virile? Virile.
Virile?
You know. Virile? Like, you know, a man is virile. How do you pronounce it?
It's virile, yeah, virile.
Yeah, anyways, if he can, you know. But anyway, yeah. So it is pretty much, it is kind of a hilarious scene because Urza's all, my girls are back. I will kick you. Because it's like, no, literally, it's like the scene shows her staring in amazement at her own breasts. And then she's like, my body is back to normal. And so she fights, and...
The only obvious way to tell her about her body back to normal.
Yeah. And what do you want to bet that somewhere out there is a version of this scene where Urza is kicking Minerva, where Mashima doesn't put in the censoring speed lines, or the censoring shading, or the Minerva's hair thingy that censors that convenient area? What do you want to bet? I mean...
I'm gonna bet that someone else did instead of him.
Well, of course. I mean, fans. Of course.
I mean, he can't do it because it's like Photoshop. Because then it's existence, and people be like, "Hey, what are you doing?" Oh, nothing.
No, I'm convinced that.
I don't think he'd do that at all.
I'm convinced that he has like this portfolio of all the fan service scenes from Fairy Tail, but showing everything. Because with the amount of fan service that he draws, I get the feeling that he likes fan service for maybe reasons.
Maybe it's just easier to draw it all exposed and exposed to the air, and then just go on to take that copy it, and then put some sensors and just, you know, instead of redrawing it all at once.
Mr. Mashima, why did you put so much detail into her crotch when you were just gonna censor it? I have my reasons. But moving
Mr. Mashima, why is that kunai right in front of her? Oh, wait, that's the wrong guy.
Wrong guy, that's Matsune. But anyway, moving on to male fan service, where Gray is now an adult and no longer has his shirts. And let's see. He fights the demon guy. The demon turns into a bigger demon. And then uses his power, and Gray is a kid again, and Urza is also a kid again. And turns out Minerva is now a kid, and it's very disturbing because her top is falling off. And I'm like, can we please move on? And the same kind of issue for Lucy and Flair, because I'm like, this is kind of creepy. We're moving on now. But Gray...
Wendy just turned smaller.
Yeah, no change. But yeah, Gray ends up defeating the demon guy. But then it turns out that Natsu has been taken by a giant... Eaten by a giant... No, not Natsu. It was the demon guy. That's right.
The demon guy.
That gets eaten by this giant one-eyed bird. So now they have to
Ariman.
Fight it. Yeah, and they... So they have to fight it. Natsu fights it. And then they discover that the fire is actually... What's his face? Sun Atlas. Atlas Flame. Oh. That's it.
Yeah, there you go.
He is the holy fire of the giants. And now that he is back, he unfreezes the giants, and I would have laughed if some Attack on Titan junk had happened here. But yeah, these giants are pretty big. They're very much like One Piece giants, as if this series needed more comparisons to One Piece.
Well, giants are fictional beings, you know.
Yeah, anyone can use giants. But yeah, basically,
giants... I mean, Seven Deadly Sins has giants, and one of the main characters is a giant.
Indeed, but she's not quite as big as these giants, but then again, she is a female giant, so who knows, maybe male giants are as big as these giants. But, you know, what I really like about these designs, kind of in general, is that the giants look like your stereotypical dwarves.
Yeah.
You know, they're stocky, short legs, big and burly and muscular with big beards. They just happen to be absolutely massive.
Just imagine dwarves just going, ha, I'm bigger than you now. Like, you sure are.
Yeah, but you know, and I mean, because with One Piece, the giants tend to look like humans, you know, in general. Well, with these ones, definitely you kind of get the sense that, oh, hey, these giants are, you know, they're a little Scandinavian, a little dwarfish, which I think is a really great design, just taking the whole, you know, this is what these guys look like, dwarves, but they are actually giants. I think that's kind of fun.
So, you know that one part where one of those hunters cut one of the frozen giants and, like, caught him? You think one of the giants is going to notice that at some point?
I'm going to think of what now?
You know the part when the hunters were, when the hunters was, one of the treasure hunters was like, oh, these guys, we don't care about them. He cuts them. Like, I'm like, dude. Dude, why?
Just like, because. You know, kill them.
I feel like being a douchebag.
Kill them all. Yeah, but either way, I think it was an okay volume. I mean, it had these moments where you're sort of like, okay, look,
that's
Mashima.
Fail happy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just kind of like, Mashima, you can have your fan service, but please don't involve said fan service be adult women suddenly turning into children and, oh, look, their clothes are falling off.
I get tired
please
of that.
Don't do that.
I hate that.
Ever again. That. It's very creepy. I mean, okay, maybe the opposite of that, them becoming adults from being small and suddenly, oh, look, they're missing some of their clothes. Okay, I can kind of see that working. But the whole, they were in children bodies at a certain point makes it very, very creepy. Please don't do that anymore.
Well, since you know, Mashima had the guy get killed, I think he won't do that anymore.
Please, yes, don't give anyone else
Because, you know, I'm not talking about how the world fairy tale works, but I mean, some people can probably still use a similar, I mean, since Gray and Leon used the similar kind of magic, but in different ways, I'm just going to hope that we don't see another guy with magic that can do the same thing as Gray. What was the hell his name, the demon guy?
I forget, I don't really care.
I don't care, I'm going to go with Gray or something. But yeah, wrap it up.
Indeed, this... is, yeah, we're good to go here. Let's go ahead and...
Wait. Did you just forget something?
Forget what?
Final chapter.
What final chapter?
Forget it, man.
No, really, tell me, what the hell are you even talking about?
The reveal that the...
Oh, yeah, Silver. Yeah, Silver shows up.
Yes, yes.
Yay.
You know, oh, look, we have a Devil Slayer.
Yeah, that... Oh, man, we'll get into that later. We've already gotten into that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Actually, it was kind of interesting because I did like how it was kind of explained, like, why did that demon guy actually get injured so easy? I thought it was like, oh, he just went to ice, or maybe just the bush would point. I mean, Ashima made the bush just pointy, so you think that, oh, he doesn't like pointy stuff. Nobody likes pointy stuff. Mega Man pops like a balloon when he touches pointy stuff. Anyways, the funny thing was that most people would not realize that it was really Devil Sling, Ice Devil Sling magic. That's why he kept feeling like really like he didn't avoid the ice the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. So it's
that was pretty good.
Yeah,
that was pretty good. I like that part.
It's an interesting thought. I mean, this story kind of has its moments. It has its creepy fan service moments, but that's just to be expected with fairy tale. But all right, and that is that. Let's go ahead and take a quick break and move on to the next segment. It's time for the manga commentary for issue 39 of Weekly Shonen Jump. And starting off this week, we have One Punch Man, Punch 36, Part 2, Crash. Mm-hmm. And it is... I don't know. It was a good chapter. I enjoyed it. It was kind of short. Well, because it was the aftermath.
Yeah, it basically wraps up the aftermath of the fight. And... Let's see. I have to admit, it's kind of funny how Saitama and Gen are sort of like they just ignore that rank 2 S class girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then we find out, oh, she's actually not a kid. Well,
yeah, and she's she's also very powerful. But
of course.
Yeah, I am kind of amused by how this whole thought of, oh wait, sure, she's way more powerful than Genos, but would she? You know, would she stand a match against Saitama? Or would she be a match for Saitama? Who knows? And then, yeah, they just basically say, yeah, the city was destroyed, so the Hero Association built up a new city that's a new headquarters that's basically a giant freaking fortress, and it actually looks really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get Punch 37, King, where we get to meet that one of the S-class guys who is said to be the strongest man in the world.
Yep.
But he's not the highest ranked S-class hero. And he's so strong that villains are just terrified when he looks at them. And
he emits haki from his eyes.
Pretty much. Yeah, and it's funny because I was like, sorry, I'm just out shopping. He's like, look at the king's face, he's angry, open the way. I'm not angry. And...
I just saw the Batman for some reason.
Yeah. It was like that. It was like, I'm busy. I'm busy. Would you move, please? And it's like, did you just annoy him? And then he buys a dating sim game. And I'm just like, oh dear, this is kind of hilarious. And he's like, I'll go straight home and play Teehee.
I love your impersonation of it.
Yes, thank you.
You should voice him if there's a dub.
That would be pretty fantastic. I wouldn't mind being paid for doing a crappy voice. But, yeah. And so, yeah, and then Genos and Saitama see him while they're out shopping.
Yep.
And, of course, Saitama is wearing what we assume is his opai shirt. Because you can see the letters PPA through his open shirt that he's wearing over it, and then what looks like a pair of opai on the shirt. So, it is amusing, but probably why also one of the wearing shirts like that is probably why he's single. Let that be a note to people who wear those humorous yet sexist t-shirts along the lines of, that's very interesting, woman, now go in the kitchen and make me a sandwich. You know the shirts. And you know the kind of guys that wear them, the kind of guys where you look at them and you're like, you don't look like the kind of guy that really has a girlfriend, and I think I know why.
Don't wear a shirt that says, make me a sandwich, woman. Yeah. Don't ever wear a shirt like that.
Exactly.
That's what I have. But I'll say I make myself a sandwich, not you.
Yeah.
My shirt would say.
Yeah, I have to say, you can't possibly be hungry for sandwiches that often that you need to wear a shirt at all times requesting a sandwich, lest a moment go in your life where you are not requesting a sandwich because you are that hungry. Sorry, what were we talking about?
Let's just move on.
Yeah, let's talk about sandwiches. Toriko, chapter 289. Preparing air, part 2.
They're talking about air.
Indeed, yeah. We get a little bit of, just a little bit at the beginning talking about how the Nightmare Herak, you know, just by breathing it's so dangerous, but Toriko is still surviving. And then we go to the preparation of air, which is basically, hey, we gotta get it, you know, we gotta let all the air out at once. We can't let it, you know, leak out. And so basically that's how, you know, when it falls, it bursts open and all the air escapes at once. That gives the fruit its flavor. But if it's all leaking out bit by bit, then it's losing flavor before it's properly ripe. So they use all their abilities to, you know, keep it together, try to keep keep it from rupturing it while Komatsu is cutting through to make one big hole to let all the air out at once.
Yeah.
And then it's a pretty exciting chapter overall, even though they're not really fighting. It's just, you know, they're preparing some food, but it's so ridiculous and over the top that it's actually really interesting. And as just at the last moment, as it's falling, which at first I was thinking, wait, isn't that a good thing? You know, falls, bursts, whatever. I didn't quite entirely understand it. But it turns out that Komatsu turns into, I don't know, he looks really weird for a moment. He looks like is that Komatsu? Yeah, it's Komatsu. Because he looks kind of like one of Toriko's demon form thingies.
What?
You know, right at the second to last page, when he gets the darker skin with the lines coming from his pupil-less eyes.
Really?
Yeah, or something. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. But, yeah. It's a good chapter. I really like this one overall.
It was all right. All I could think in my head was, how are they going to eat air?
Well, I
think, now, let's just go to Wendy and ask her, how do they do that?
Yeah, I think what it was, I think from what I understand, is that the fruit is in the middle. They're not actually eating air. It's just that there's, you know, it basically, let's see, a little time, let's see, method involves, that gets released, to get the fruit to ripen and drop without losing any flavor, you can let the fruit compromise its form or rupture early, but if all the air releases from one place at one moment, then all the flavor remains within the fruit, so the air is gone, but the fruit is still there.
Okay.
So it's basically, I guess it's, you know, it's an actual fruit. That was one thing that I was kind of wondering about for the longest time when I found out that one of the ingredients in Acacia's full course meal is air. Because I'm like, wait, what?
Well, let's
You've got the crappiest full course menu ever. It's like, now for our next course. All right, next course. I was like, wait, what?
Wendy's like, I have that for, like, everything I eat.
Yeah. You know, if Dragon Slayer is considered
I just have to keep adding the fairy tale joke in for this one.
Yes, yes. Yes, you do. All right, let's move on. Naruto chapter 689. I love you guys.
No.
Yeah, no. I do like, I don't know, it's like the one redeeming quality of several months is that since Kishimoto has decided to forego any sense of actually having any of his characters trained for what they do, and he's just throwing away powers nilly-willy, I actually really like some of the ridiculousness of some of these powers, like the fact that Kakashi manages to use a Kamui shuriken, which what it hits, it sucks into an alternate world, and that's actually kind of awesome. And let's see, they end up something about giant attacks gonna destroy this area. If we leave, she'll be, you know, everything will be destroyed. They try to get close to her, but she keeps destroying them, clones and whatnot. But they finally manage to get close to her, but she's about to escape. And then, hey, Sakura comes in and punches her. And I have to say, it makes for a nice it makes for a nice image seeing Sakura beat her down so that the other two can seal her away. But at the same time, that single image does not make up for the fact that Sakura has been an ineffectual character for the majority of the series.
Mm-hmm.
So, if we could have gotten more of this, this would have been a very satisfying conclusion. But overall, I honestly... yeah, I mean, I go into Naruto just expecting to be bored, and usually I'm not disappointed. And... yeah.
I like how Sakura said, "Don't forget about me. We're both women, so don't you mock me." And I'm like, "Well, a little too late on that. Way too late on that."
Just a wee bit. Just a wee bit. Yeah.
A wee bit.
I have to say, it's that's just the thing about Naruto is I'm not even sure what the heck is going on anymore. It's just. This feels like something that we'd have to go over in a more concentrated form, because complaining about it week by week, chapter by chapter, doesn't really give the best critical review of why this series is no good anymore.
I suppose.
So eventually we're going to have to get around, probably not until after this is over, or because it might be over soon, but we'll have to see. But eventually we're going to have to go back, reread the entire series, and figure out what the heck happened. Because, I mean, with a series like Bleach, and we're saying, oh, we're going to reread it and see what the heck happened. I mean, honestly, let's be honest here. With Bleach, it's easy to figure out.
Yeah.
It was okay. The Uekamondo arc was okay. But not great. It was retreading ground before, but I could ignore that. But then once he got to the Aizen stuff, it was just, this is actually kind of crappy. And then after that, it never really recovered because people were expecting it to be crappy. And for some reason, Kubo decided not to do as well. And it kind of just, the popularity just went downhill from there. So, I think the big problem is that imagine if Naruto tries to continue after this.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, just imagine. That's kind of how I think how it feels with Bleach, is that it really should have ended with Aizen. There was no reason to keep going. Mm-hmm. And I mean, honestly, with Naruto, it somewhat kind of has moments like that, like when they went after Pain. But there it had been established earlier that Pain wasn't the big bad, you know? It introduced the concept of, hey, there's more big bad guys, so we can keep going. With Bleach, the problem was that it didn't introduce more big bads. As soon as Aizen was defeated, the story was over. You know, mm-hmm. Anything else that done after that was just a lame sequel, not a continuation of the same story.
Didn't need to know about the Shinigami badge. I know that a lot of people would love to learn about other things, but it wasn't just the best if it just ended after the Battle of Aizen.
Pretty much, yeah.
Did pretty well by, you know, having him sealed away for, like, something 1,000 years or whatever. I'm like, okay, that works.
Yeah, I think the thing is that Kubo wanted to tell more stories, you know. He wanted to do Isshin's backstory. He wanted to do a bunch of other, you know, backstories and stuff that he wanted to cover. The problem is that he shouldn't have finished Aizen off when he did, if that's what he wanted to do. Because the moment Aizen is gone, we no longer have the big bad that we've had all along. While with Naruto, sure, they finish off bad guys, you know, at certain points, but it does still introduce, hey, there's another bad guy that's directly connected to this one, you know. It goes up more levels, and while that can get incredibly frustrating, you know, it actually, you know, I mean, one example of how that works is when we went from Madara to what's-her-face here, Kaguya Hime or whatever it was.
Kaguya.
Yeah, we went to her, and suddenly that's kind of, you know, basically what Naruto's been doing all this time. Just here, because it was so abrupt, it's kind of crappy. And so, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, we've gotten to a point with Naruto where if it goes any further than this, then that's a problem, because it will
run into the problem of Bleach. If they go into space to discover the so-called place where Kaguya came from,
that'd
this
be
series
stupid.
Has to be axed.
Yeah, Naruto is at a point where this is, I mean, it's been managing to escape the whole, oh, hey, I need, you know, we can keep going a little bit more. It's been managing to just keep ahead of the end by a little bit, but it's reached the point where if he tries to do another arc after this, despite the fact that he says it's almost done, I'm dropping it. Yeah,
I'm not going to bother talking about it anymore.
Yeah, there will go any chance of me talking about this seriously, because it just doesn't work. I mean, One Piece can keep going, for example, which we're going to talk about next, can keep going for as long as it wants, because it set up beforehand the, hey, there's more than just this one big bad guy. There's many bad guys that the characters need to deal with. It gives us a more rich world.
Yep.
And, you know, once one bad guy is defeated, then, you know, there's still more. There's more to do. There's more bad guys and everything. It keeps going, and we have the minor arc-by-arc bad guys. Because, I mean, just imagine if one of the arcs in One Piece, you know, focused entirely on, let's say, instead of taking out Don Krieg early on, Luffy decided that he's going, you know, Oda decides, oh, now we're going to have him take out this Marine Admiral who killed his brother at some point. The timeline's a little confused in this example. But, you know, it's just like, that's what the Aizen arc somewhat feels like to me sometimes,
yeah.
Is that it had the series big bad guy with no other, you know, with no other concept of there being anyone else that the characters could take out, and it focused an entire arc around taking him down instead of making it be, look, here's a random bad guy that's there for just this arc, take him down, you know? That's anyway, let's move on to One Piece chapter 757. What were you going to say?
I just wanted to say that with Bleach, I would have felt that they could have held off on going the whole Holy War against Aizen thing, and just, you know, done some other things, like brought a few other bad guys before they went to the Aizen thing. And I was like, when they went straight to the Arrancar and then brought Aizen, I was like, okay, that's just too soon. It just felt weird. It's like, wow, you're going to end it already or something? And then it went up like, what, 8 years? 8 years!
Yeah. Yes, indeed. All right, well, let's talk about One Piece.
Hey, One Piece.
Yep, so we get the face-off between Bartolomeo, Cavendish, Robin, and what's his face again? Gladius, that's it.
Gladius,
yeah. And we also learn that Bartolomeo can only use so much barrier, so he's using up all his barrier to, you know, make the stairs, and then... And so he has to use his body to protect Luffy because he can't, you know, use his barrier anymore.
My body is a barrier.
Yes. Yeah. And then, of course, as one of the dolls is going to eat him, Robin uses a move that I am sure many fans wouldn't mind being used against them, because some people have interesting interests. Robin uses the Cinco Mano Spank.
Why spank
indeed? Because some people want to. Because Oda wants some people to imagine a very weird scenario involving them and Robin's devil fruit power. I guess that's why. No, not really.
Only you would.
No, I wouldn't. Lies. How dare you say that? That's slander. It's a pretty badass moment because Robin actually does something for the first time in forever, and I'm just like, oh, hey, look, one of my favorite characters actually freaking does something, and she actually gives a really good speech about how Luffy is awesome. And then she uses what kind of reminds me of Byakuya's Bankai.
Ah, yes.
With, like, she uses the gigantesque mano, and these hands grow out from everywhere around him in, like, a column.
So, gigantesque mano, cinco mano spank.
Yes. Well, there's six, so say so, or I don't know. But, six. Yeah, and I kind of love the pun, because Robin's like, you won't lay a hand on Luffy. And I'm like, you're just dying to follow that up with, because I'm going to lay hands all over you. But yeah, nonetheless, Robin being awesome, that it's so rare that Nami or Robin get fights in this series anymore, and they used to have some of the better ones, so thank goodness. But yep. We also get to see Fujitora and Sabo's fight and find out that yes, he can use his gravity in ways other than just pushing down. He can push to the side as well, which is kind of terrifying.
Hey, that looks pretty cool though. It's like it's all curvy.
It does, yeah. And then we get the fight between Rebecca and
Steven Tyler.
That's what I was trying not to think of.
Diamante,
yes. Where, yeah, she's trying to run away because she can't defeat him, which I guess you could make a comment about. Wait, wasn't she like this undefeated gladiator? Why is she suddenly losing against him? Is it because she's a woman? Or, I mean, yeah, there are some questionable moments in One Piece. I mean, talking about how Robin finally is getting a fight. There have been plenty of moments recently where you kind of have to take a step back and say, wait a minute, why are the women being treated worse than they used to be in this series? And so it's kind of like, it's questionable, but I'm not going to get too much into it because I'm going to just wait and see what happens. But, yeah, she cries out for her father, and then, yeah, he shows up and saves her. Where does he cut Diamante exactly? But he cuts him pretty bad, it looks like. I also kind of like this one part where it shows how he is, where it shows how Kuros is standing. You know, when it focuses on the fact that he is missing a leg right before you get the small little flashbacks. Mm-hmm. I like the way Oda draws it because he shows the body slightly angled to the right rather than, you know, standing straight upright the way you would if you had both legs. The way you do, you know, both legs flat on the ground, body, you know, just straight. Here, it's angled slightly to the right to provide more balance because he only has one limb. And I think that's a little detail that I don't know whether many people noticed, but I just think it's a nice little touch there where he's actually, you know, he's not showing, hey, let's have him stand the way he would if he had two legs. No, he's standing in a way that has to compensate for the fact that his entire left side no longer has anything to support it. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was great. And let's see. Also, I just want to say, if it turns out that Kuros doesn't use his beard as a weapon, I'll be very disappointed because that is a pointy beard. Also, in the panel where you see him imposed over the toy soldier, is it just me or does he look a lot like Ozai in The Last Airbender?
He does.
It's weird, isn't it? You're just like, Rebecca, I recommend you run. If he suddenly displays the ability to shoot fire from his hands, get the hell out of there.
But he can't.
No, he can't. Oh, that would have been hilarious if he had gotten the devil fruit power. If he had gotten Ace's fruit. Because then this moment would be like, Rebecca, honey, don't ever talk back. Just, you know, in general, for the sake of your eye. But anyway, Avatar The Last Airbender jokes. Alright then, so. Then we have Luffy and Law make their way up, and Luffy's just got his arms stretched out. He's like, give me the key! And finally, Law is free. And as many others have voiced, I am a little disappointed that Law didn't immediately smack Luffy across the head for the entire several months worth of chapters being dragged around like that.
Yeah.
Also, what's kind of interesting is that you normally think of Luffy as this short little guy, but standing next to Law, you kind of see he's actually not that much shorter than Law. So, that's interesting.
Well, One Piece is full of really, really, really tall people that are also taller than the main character.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you think of someone like Law as being regular human-sized, and then Luffy, you think of as like, oh, he's shorter than normal. But then you look at them side by side, and you're just thinking, oh, wait, they're actually about the same size. Huh, interesting. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like when you realize that Luffy is a little taller or about the same height as Nami, for example. Because you usually think of her as like, oh, she's the size of a regular person. And Luffy is a little bit shorter, but then it turns out he isn't, actually.
Well, she's usually wearing heels.
That does help, so he probably is taller than her. But anyway, it was a great chapter. Lots of content. That's the thing about One Piece. You always got stuff to talk about.
It was.
And let's see. Let's talk about... Oh, pardon me. Nisekoi, chapter 135. This was pretty fantastic. You could see what was coming just based on the build-up of everyone's like, oh, yay, Yui's gonna sing, and you just got Shu in the background right behind Ruri just covering his ears.
And I saw that, I was like, oh, boy, it's not good.
And she's just like, wait, what? He's like, what's going on? I just like to imagine that... It didn't confirm it or not, but I like to imagine that she, you know... took his, you know, followed his lead, and even though she was like, I have no idea why he's doing this, but usually he doesn't do things like this without a good reason, so better follow when in Rome. And yeah, turns out Yui is an awful singer, to the point where all the animals start screeching, all the glass breaks, all the rats in the building run away, and yeah. And she's like, how was that? And you get all the chibi heads of everyone. It's like, ah, how was that? You're awful. It's like, quick, Yamanaka's unconscious. Get a stretcher. Quick, get water. Someone give us a hand.
Did she blast her eardrums or something?
I think so.
Like, popped up. They're bleeding. Like, oh my god, you just fatally killed someone. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, it... I mean, yeah, she bursts the strings on a cello. She's not a good singer. I also love just the expressions we get from Chitoge, Raku, and Onodera. It's just, yeah, those are kind of entertaining. And I do like Ichijo's flashback of, oh, she sang happy birthday to me once, and I've totally blocked out the rest. Yeah, it was, and Tachiya and Marika turned into salt. And then they decide, and then it turns out, oh, hey, I'm, hey there, Mr. Principal, what do you want? And his, Vice Principal, actually, is like, oh, hey, we need you to sing the school song at our morning assembly tomorrow, because apparently I am deaf, and I did not hear that horrible noise that just came, and I didn't think to investigate it.
But, apparently so.
Yeah. At least he's better than the principals or vice principals in other romantic comedies that I've seen. You know, the one. The one where the guy should have been arrested for attempted molestation charges long ago.
Oh.
For the record, To Love Ru is a piece of shit. Moving on.
Yes, I was gonna not mention that one.
Well, I just want people to know that if you haven't read To Love Ru, don't. It's shit. Don't expose yourself to that. Anyway.
It's trouble. No, really, it's pronounced trouble.
Indeed. But that stupid pun aside, the rest of the chapter is basically Marika trying to teach her, and it's hilarious because she's constantly just giving up on her. She's like, no talent, you should just give up. And yeah, it's just like, all right, okay, now keeping all that in mind, go ahead. He's like, I'm leaving. It's, yeah. And then Raku helps her, and apparently she ends up doing well because she loses her voice, so she actually sounds partway decent. She's not good, but she's not bad. She just sounds normal. And then it's like her voice starts feeling better, and then it's, you have like,
you remind me of Scuttle. I heard my ears. Stop that.
Or it's like, anyone that wants to imagine what this probably sounds like, just imagine that scene with Marge auditioning for A Streetcar Named Desire, where it's like, next, what? Thank you for nothing. You're all terrible.
Rest in peace, ears.
Yes. And of course, the face of the chapter comes right on the last panel, where everyone's like, "Wait, whose voice was that at the end?" And she's just like, "Ah, this was a great chapter because Yui kind of came across as that, oh, hey, I'm the new character. Look at how quirky I am. You should like me. And I have a crush on the main character. You should totally support me in it, even though I only just appeared. This chapter really helped because it gave her that really entertaining flaw and portrayed it in a way that really makes you like her. That's a lot of these characters do have those moments where you just get that one chapter that just uses them right. And then you can finally actually enjoy, you know, you like them as a character. And so that I really appreciate. Alright, let's see, what do we have next?
Only just got animated.
Yeah.
I can only imagine the voice actors just going, wait, you want me to do what?
Oh, geez, actually, that would be impossible.
We're just finding someone that's tone deaf and have them sing. Like, no.
Yep, indeed. Alright then, let's see, how much do we have left? Still have a fair bit left. I think we're going to go take a break, because I need to leave in 10 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll finish, we should be able to finish the rest tomorrow morning. So, alright, we will take a quick break here, folks, and we'll be back in just a sec. It's time for Bleach, chapter 593, where we get a bit of an interesting moment, because it's kind of like Groundhog's Day and All You Need Is Kill. So it's kind of a bit topical, because it turns out that every time Hitsugaya kills Mayuri, he ends up going back in time, and slowly by slowly he starts remembering it, and he starts being able to think more clear. So yeah, so we get, so instead of the heroic Mayuri defeating the zombie Hitsugaya, we've got the sadistic Mayuri and the zombie Hitsugaya, who retains his personality. So since he's a much more likable character than Mayuri, suddenly we feel awful for him.
And I like Mayuri though more still, because it's just funny. It's like oh, you thought you killed me. Oh, you thought you killed me. Oh, you I'm like, what's going on here?
He is kind of, I don't know, there is something horribly fascinating about him. I love that, like, the last panel with his expression where he's got that giant shit-eating grin. And you're just like, Mayuri, you are the worst person ever. It's like, you know, the only way this series will ever have a happy ending is if, at the end, somebody just randomly pushes Mayuri in front of a bus. Like that one episode of Family Guy, where Stewie lends Brian some money, and then Brian is like, oh yeah, I'll pay you back later, and then Stewie goes all, mob boss on him, breaking his knees and beating him up. He's like, where's my money? And then finally Brian gives him the money, and then Stewie's like, ah, well, hey, no hard feelings, right? And Brian's like, I'm going to get you for this. You won't know when, but I'm going to get you for this. And then you spend the entire rest of the episode, Stewie is just absolutely petrified. He's like, every time Brian moves, Stewie's like, ah! And flinching and everything. And so you go through the entire other story, like, you know, with Peter and playing football or some crap, I don't know. And then you just go through it, and it's like, you get to right to the end, you're like, hey, wait a minute, Brian never got back at Stewie for beating him up. And then just in the last 2 seconds, Brian just shoves him in front of a bus, and that's where the episode ends.
Ah.
It's actually one of those rare cases where Family Guy was actually hilarious. And so, alright, but that aside, let's talk about Bleach a bit. So, yeah, what do we think of this chapter?
I like it.
It was quite a lot of fun. I don't know. Bleach is kind of one of those on and off series in that sometimes it has enjoyable chapters, but most often it's just kind of boring right now. And I think we can talk about that once we get to, you know, once we get around to going over the series again, volume by volume. And so, but yeah, for now, this was a good chapter. And now it's time to talk about World Trigger, Chapter 72, Invasion, Part 19. Chapter titles that come in parts. The lazy name chooser's best friend.
I mean, Part 19, I have never, ever I don't think I've ever read a manga title, a manga series where they go up to, where they go up to parts past 10. I know Soul Eater went up to at least part 9, and then it finishes up, because, well, it was monthly, so that's a different story, too.
You get more content per chapter title. But yeah, I think, I think the only one that I know that has pushed it was Bleach. But even then, it's kind of like, I don't know, not as consistently as this one, but...
Yeah, Bleach is consistent. It's like the Headhunter Part 2, and then all of a sudden, like 50 chapters of the Headhunter Part 2, I'm like, but what? Like, what?
Yeah.
You remember? It's still going. Wait, what? Totally confused here, but at least we can at least say that this one is kind of staying consistent.
Yeah.
Not really.
Well, anyway... About the actual chapter. So Mira comes up, but she doesn't come to save what's-his-face.
Inadora,
there it is, yeah. She came... I do like how they have the names of the relevant characters at the front, but yeah. She doesn't come to save him. She comes to retrieve the Black Trigger.
I didn't look at the name list. I just remember while reading it.
Yeah. And then she ends up... Yeah, and then she ends up killing him, and it looks like he actually dies because he no longer has his trigger, so it's his flesh and blood body. And so,
it's just a flesh wound. No, not really.
In this series, not just a flesh wound. It's more like, oh crap, it's a flesh wound. It's not my Trion body. But yeah, let's see, and then we move on. Looks like Jin is fighting that guy that looks like he could be Jin with a slightly different hairdo. Seriously, they look alike. Quite a bit.
I guess.
A little bit, but... And then we get the other fight against the guy with the bees. My gosh. Sorry.
You should boggle that one guy. Wait, oh, the bees. Oh, the leader. High rank.
With the fish and the bees and everything. Yeah, him.
Not the bees.
Yep, but then it turns out that... Yeah. Dude ends up getting sniped. And that's the end of that chapter. So...
Don't underestimate snipers.
Yeah, it was an enjoyable chapter, but at the same time, the fact that it was kind of jumping between fights made it hard to have anything to latch onto, you know?
I think they're just trying to get out of what, you know, Bleach and Naruto used to do. Well, Bleach used to do with the whole sticking to one fight for too dang long.
Which is true.
I mean, all the finally realizing, like, oh, I don't want to do that. I'll just leave the anime to fill that in.
Yeah, it is, but still, you know, it's a bit iffy. But nonetheless,
that's fine.
I don't know. I suppose. All right, let's go ahead and talk about the next couple chapters. Let's see, Assassination Classroom first, right?
Yeah, that one. That one.
All right, let's see. That is. Turn the sound off on this.
Chapter 99.
I know we had two.
Yeah, it's chapter 99, chapter 100. There we go.
All right, yeah, pulling that up right now. Let's see. Chapter 99 and 100. Okay, so in chapter 99, this is why I hate when we get out of sync because of holidays. But anyway, chapter 99. Remind me what happens here. Let's see. So they this is the one where they do the we're gonna help Arena. With Karasuma, and then so they get flowers to have Karasuma give to her, but he gives it away that, you know, they weren't actually from him, and so she's all angry,
wouldn't be a good lie anyway.
Yeah, and they, you know, and she's basically, you know what, I was only pretending to be a teacher, and she's like, oh, thanks, this has opened my eyes, thanks for the best present ever, and... Yeah, so she's not happy, and everyone's like, oh, you still not get it, Karasuma? And he's like, do I really look that dense? And he's like, I can't help it if it seems heartless, but if she can't regain her composure, I'll hire another assassin. Ugh. He's like, if your blade is one that dulls from love, you don't have the qualifications to work here. That's all it is. And so, it's pretty much like, no, he understands exactly what's going on. It wasn't that he was the dense shonen guy. No, it's kind of funny. He's an adult. He realizes exactly what was going on, but the reason he isn't doing anything or reciprocating is just because, you know, they're kind of trying to save the world, and if she lets herself
get distracted... The duty calls first. Ladies can wait.
Yeah, if she lets herself get distracted, then it's kind of like, Although it would be kind of... interesting to see where it goes from here. But speaking of which, where it goes from here, turns out that Irina is being stalked by the guy that was hunting all the other assassins, the Reaper. But then it turns out he's the flower guy that gave them the flowers in the first place.
I would never trust people who sell flowers anymore.
Yes.
But speaking of which, we had a flower person that died, you know, in that certain fictional series. Yeah. Anyways.
Yep, anyway, so we get on to chapter 100, which it turns out that Lovro is still alive, but he says, hey, I was attacked by him, the most perfect assassin who's been going after other assassins. And so,
an assassin that failed to kill an assassin. Well, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, he's just like, but he's like, look, if he finds me again, I'm going to be out of commission for a long time. So he is, yeah. And so turns out he ends up coming into the classroom and everyone, like, just acting like he's meant to be there. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, hey, what's up, dude? And then suddenly like, wait, what? And yeah, so then he reveals that, hey, you know what? I am the hitman, the god of death, and I want to teach you a lesson, and you know what? Here, let me show this image. It's Irina, who has been captured, apparently still alive.
Well, that's the worst birthday present ever.
Yeah. And then he's like, okay, he's like, you know what? You're going to come to this pre-designated place, and if you don't, I'll send her back to you, but, you know, after I divide her up, and spit her out equally to you all, and you just draws
that in. Totally reminds me of a certain series I once read. I was just
reminds me of this story from the Bible where this I think it was like the Benjamites, and this one guy stays among them, and apparently they all want to rape the guy, but he throws out his concubine. And apparently the rapists are all just, you know, they're like, whatever, as long as it has a hole, I don't care. And they end up raping her to the point where she dies. And then the man takes the body of his concubine, divides it up into, cuts it up into pieces, and sends them to all the other tribes of Israel, and says, hey, look what the Benjamites did. And so they went to war and destroyed them and scattered them.
Well, that's,
Welcome
what
to
hell is wrong with you guys?
Welcome to Christianity, secretly the most badass religion of them all. Well, I guess this also counts for Judaism as well, because Old Testament still part of the Jewish canon. So, but yeah, nonetheless.
Those
sweet
boots are tame as heck, man.
Yeah, I know, right? People wonder, oh, why were there the Crusades and the Jews against Muslims and Christians against Muslims. Why? And then you read stories like this and you're like, oh, geez, that's why. Yeesh. But yeah, anyway, biblical allusions aside, and also with a very creepy diagram showing exactly how he would divide her up.
Well.
But, yeah, and so it's really interesting is that how they feel that, you know, this guy is just like so soothing, that even when he's saying the most horrible things, everyone's like, oh yeah, it's like he's saying these awful things, and I know he's not lying, but at the same time, I don't feel worried. And so, yeah, they have to go save Irina, and so I am curious to see where this will go, there is always the possibility that this will go the, oh, she's actually dead, or I've already killed her route. You know, it is not impossible in a series about assassins, but considering that Matsui didn't kill off Lovro when it would have been perfectly acceptable, even in a series that where he doesn't intend to kill off any of the main characters, killing off the side characters is fine. But the fact that he didn't kill off one of the side characters suggests that Irina, as one of the somewhat main characters, is probably safe. So chances are this has two directions it will go. Either just the kids come and save her, or Karasuma finds out as well and comes and saves her, and then this story is used as a, hey, let's develop their relationship kind of story, you know?
Well, Irina's been around since chapter 8.
Mm. So I imagine she's probably fine. But then again, this is a guy that has killed off female characters in the past in one of his previous series. But at the same time, if he doesn't even kill off the old assassin guy, who is barely a side character as it is, chances are that, you know, Irina's probably safe.
He didn't kill the old assassin guy who trained her pretty much.
Yeah. And so, all right.
Well, yeah, Human Slayer failed.
Yeah, but we'll have to see. I imagine that Irina's probably going to get out of this alive, but at the same time, it's still, yeesh. All right, let's talk about Shokugeki no Soma. We only have chapter 83, because I guess the other chapters are not there, but anyway, let's see, let's go ahead and get started. So this is the one we start off with. Oh, yeah. You've got Mimasaka, who is all, oh, hey, I'm gonna role-play Soma to get into his mindset, and you're just like, oh, dear. But yeah, and then we've got Soma's basically saying, okay, I've tried all these different things, but I can't figure out what I need to do. And the newspaper kid is full, so he's like, you know what, I need to talk to someone with a good palate. And yay, Arena's back. It's been...
fine. Yeah. And, like, how many chapters was that, actually?
I have no idea. But yeah, I think it's jeez.
It's been a while. 30 chapters.
Yeah, it has. So
about like 30 chapters. Wow.
Something like that. Yeah, but we get to see it is she's reading a manga, but then it turns out that she is done. You know, she doesn't know how to even get manga. So it is kind of, and since what's her name, Hisako. Yeah, has gone to retrain herself. Arena's on her own, and she's like, "I don't know what to do on my own." And then, yeah, and then she's like, "Oh, hey, she's back!" And no, it's Soma, and she's like, "Ah, dang it!" And so, yeah, and then they basically have their bickering, and it's entertaining bickering. But Soma recognizes, "Oh, hey, you're reading that manga. I know someone that has all that manga. You should taste my food." And then, although, yeah, and he's like, you know what, I'll pay, and she's like, finally, yeah, I'll do it, and it's like, oh, yeah, you know what, the payment doesn't have to be cash, that's negotiable, and I really like the expressions that they use on that page, it's funny. And let's see, yeah, and then after that, we have the two, it looks like the two will be working together, which... Or at least he'll be working with her and having her, you know, taste his food. Which, it's good. Finally, she's being used again after she was made such a big deal out of.
Well, she still is a big deal. Don't forget, she's got that whole God-tasting palate thing.
Yeah.
You know, tongue thing. Oh, my tongue can taste anything. I'm like, okay.
Indeed.
Okay. We'll leave it at that.
Yes, so...
Yeah, she's back. Both, well, one Irina is kidnapped, and the other Irina is waiting for her back. Yay, I can't actually accept this.
Yeah. And so...
Make sure the other Irina doesn't die, though.
Well, yeah. But anyway, so that's good times. It's weird. It seems like Irina seems to be a popular name. I swear I saw it somewhere else. Oh, yeah, that's right. In the girl and... The first part of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Oh, yeah, but she's been around way before those two.
Well, yeah, but I mean, we recently read that, so, yeah. Anyway, haha, timelines.
Well, yeah, we did.
Yeah, and then we also see that in this chapter, Dojima Gin comes back, and apparently he has a waterproof iPhone and iPad, because he's using them and talking on the phone in the frickin' bath. And let it never be said that this manga was afraid of equal opportunity fan service. But...
Well, the first chapter stated that.
Yeah.
First chapter, not the preview we were given.
True. But let's just say that this fan service is probably a lot more appealing than the fan service that the women got in the first chapter. But still, then again, at first I was like, wait, why would you have a waterproof... Why would you take that into the bath with you? But then I guess, oh, he's rich. Most likely, so he probably can afford to get himself a waterproof iPad. So, yep.
Yeah.
It's a good chapter. I liked it a lot.
And this way, Apple's going to pan pen and say, hey, we had this first. Well, yeah. We kind of made it before you guys even conceived it, but
yeah,
okay,
those are not shared. Yeah, it's like, those are not iPads. Like, shut up. They totally are. All right, let's talk about... It was Fairy Tale Chapter 397, was it?
Yeah, 96. Remember?
Really?
Okay.
Oh, right, there's two chapters.
Yes, we had to skip a week because we were only just reviewing the Dancha.
Right.
The chapters, just one, just instead, but it wouldn't be enough material, so we decided to skip a week because of the Obon Festival week. So, now we have two Fairy Tale chapters and two Seven Deadly Sins chapters.
Oh, yeah, because Kodansha is weird about it, but anyway, let's see, I'm in chapter...
Kodansha's actually smart because it's like, oh, you know, we'll get the competition when they aren't, you know, doing their thing.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I guess it's has to do with how they, you know, how they, you know, the publication schedules and everything. But anyway, yeah. So it's they're submerged in poison and so,
demon magic, poison water.
Yeah, and Gajio bolts up his mouth and he tries to fight the guy, but the guy knocks him out and knocks Gajio's breath out, and it's not good times, but then Levi comes out of nowhere and shares her breath with him in a very, in a page that I am sure that fans of this pairing will appreciate. And I have to say, that's one thing that I love about Mashima, even though this pairing is one that I don't really care about. I do love how he seems to be, just randomly, he'll be sneakily developing the relationships of the characters in the background. And so it's like, oh, hey, look, these two have a thing and everything. So like, oh, well, that's... Because it's like you've got Gajio and Levi. You've got probably Mira and Loxus that's implied but hasn't gotten beyond being implied once. And you've got Elfman and Evergreen that has had it implied a couple times. But, yeah, with his breath back, Gajio can now fight, and he punches the dude. And then moving on to chapter 397, we're just going to do them all at once. Mm-hmm. Where Gajio is like, hey, Levi, give me more air. And she's like, I don't have any air. And look, everyone else needs air. It's like, I just used my air on you, and you just happened to be the first one I noticed. I'm out of air. And I'm just like, wait, how are they talking underwater? But then again, I guess they have the one dude that's telepathic. But and Gajio's like, what are you waiting for? You're a wizard. Make air with your magic. And the scene is kind of adorable because she just starts thinking about it, and then she blushes, realizing, oh, right, I didn't have to kiss him. And suddenly my excuse for, I needed to give you air, therefore I kissed you, suddenly doesn't fly anymore. And, yeah, so she makes air by writing the word air. So Gajio can fight, she goes to take care of the others, Gajio continues to fight, but turns out the dude can harden himself to harder than iron, and Gajio is in trouble because iron isn't really that hard.
No, it isn't.
Yep, and then we get a flashback to when he was on trial and the Belno, the one woman from the council was...
I don't remember.
I do vaguely, but she didn't really do much, so it's kind of funny how it's like Mashima tries to build a connection between those two, and how when they find her dead, which, by the way, her corpse seems to be in really good condition for being a corpse, so I guess
she just got suffocated. Don't worry.
Whoever killed her was very considerate and didn't make a mess. But it's still, it's really hilarious how afterwards Gajio's like, oh, it was like, you believed in me and I couldn't pay you back, and you're like, wait, what? This is, okay, that's kind of a weird connection, but...
Yeah, I know.
It's entertaining in how he does it, but... And then, of course, what happens next, I called it because... The moment Levi mentions, oh, carbon, I was like, okay, he's going to turn into a steel dragon. And turns out that Gajio is now a steel dragon because he absorbed a bunch of carbon. And that's actually kind of badass, if a little easy to call, you know? Because it's like, oh, he is the Iron Dragon Slayer. Oh, hey, look, carbon.
Well, steel is refined iron.
Well, it is, but I mean, just speaking from a... You know, just speaking from a narrative point, this is so silly. But, you know.
I suppose, but, you know, let's
just
kind
of an awesome way.
Let's just wait until we see, like, mythical magic steel. Then we'll be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Just like Green has gone up very well, though.
Yeah, I am surprised he hasn't done this sooner, you know? But nonetheless, it is, you know, it is quite entertaining. And, you know, I kind of like these chapters. They were fun. And I imagine that there's a lot of people that like Gajio and Levy pairing a lot more.
So yeah, we do have some friends that do like them, so at least it makes them happy.
Yeah, so I imagine they'll enjoy this even more. But anyway, let's talk about the Seven Deadly Sins, chapter 89. Let's see, what happened in 89? Oh yeah, Bon grabs Gil Thunder's body and just tosses him, and of course love the reaction from, Elizabeth?
You mean her older sister, right?
Right, Margaret.
Margaret.
Yeah, Margaret and what's-her-face, the Vivian? That's it, yeah.
Vivian, the one that's all freaking possessive of him.
Stalker crazy.
Stalker.
But nonetheless, I do enjoy the reaction from both of them. They're just screaming. They're like, ah! He's like, what'd you throw? And then he throws this super restorative technique that he used, and he brings Diane and Gil Thunder back to full strength, and he's like, oh, should have used this on the captain too. Oh, well.
Yeah.
And so the fight continues, and everyone ends up, King ends up having to take out, what's his face?
Helbram,
that's it. And then you find Jericho's brother is there, and he finds Jericho's like, oh, hey. And he's like, oh, there you are. And she's like, I'm stronger than you. And then the demon grabs him and crushes him, and she's all, oh, no, somebody kill me. And then we cut to the fight between the two, Hendrickson and
Dreyfus
and Briamore, yeah. And so, yeah, and then, let's see, Dreyfus is about to use his ability, and he's actually managed to cut Hendrickson, and he's going to use his power to cut through the barrier, but unfortunately he slips and ends up cutting Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Whoops! Butterfingers! I'm sorry, that's just hilarious. Where it's like the big thing that happens is like it wasn't even that the enemy deflected it. He just slipped on rubble, and oh my gosh, it's just like this is just perfect because it's like Dreyfus is all I'm going to defeat you, Hendrickson, but then he slips. He doesn't even. It's not like Hendrickson diverts the attack towards Elizabeth, showing how evil he is. It's literally Dreyfus slipped and ended up cutting Elizabeth.
And this is how most major battles are lost, because someone just effed up.
It's absolutely hilarious.
On accident.
Yeah, this chapter was fantastic. Just for that ending alone. I mean, it had some really good moments, especially with the throwing of Gil Thunder and then the and then you see just the end where it's like, oh no, Elizabeth, oh, this is such a tragedy. Oh boy. Anyway, let's move on to chapter 90 with, let's see, we have, we have all the girls having a slumber party with, with a very creepy Bon kidnapping, Elaine? Is that meant to be Elaine? I think it is. I don't know, either way,
I think he'll be Elaine.
Yeah, either way, he's pulling her into the shadows, and I'm like, no! Stop it! This is creepy. But yeah.
Yes, let's just move on from that. I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, and so we see, looks like Elizabeth isn't actually, well, I don't know. All her pieces are still intact, she just is bleeding a lot. And so, so you've got, Hendrickson breaks free, beats up Griamore, and, destroys Dreyfus's sword. And then, finally, King kills Helbram, and, Bon manages to cut Jericho out of the demon, he cuts her out and he destroys the thing that had infected them, but by doing that, she also loses her power. Also, he's the way he catches her makes it look like he's copying a feel. So I'm like, this is creepy. This is a creepy chapter. But yeah, so from there on, it looks like Gwila is okay, I guess, and she still seems to have her power. But she was part of the new generation, wasn't she? So,
who?
Gwila.
Yeah.
So, and yet she still seems to have her power, but she has it under control, so hopefully that gets explained, but...
Well, it's probably because, you know, hers is more... Well, first of all, Gwila's wanted her power to protect her... was her brother.
Yeah.
And Jericho wanted to be stronger than her brother.
Yeah. I'm just kind of, you know, I'm just a little wondering, because it's, I don't know, uh-huh. it's kind of an odd moment, but hopefully it gets explained. But, yeah. And that was that. So, good times. Good uh-huh. times. All right, I think it is time for us to... Yeah, I think it's time for us to move on. It's time to wrap things up. So, let's go ahead and do the author comments, shall we?
Yep.
Toriko's Mitsutoshi Shimabukuro. There's a conversation between me and Shimada-sensei in the... Kinnikuman fan book, it's like a dream.
One Piece's Eiichiro Oda says, Taiyo Matsumoto's Sunny Volume 5 is a masterpiece. It's brimming with artistry. It can't be imitated. Wait, you mean you can't imitate it?
No, he means nobody's can imitate it.
I know, I'm kidding.
He's like, well, if I say it can't be imitated, that means obviously me as well, because I'm the second best, or whatever his view of himself, probably a lot more humble than that.
Yeah, they all.
Yep, so Naruto's Masashi Kishimoto. I saw the Godzilla movie. I got goosebumps during the roar scene. Check it out.
And as did you watch it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was fantastic. There were some problems with, like, the fact that it kept focused way too much on the human characters. But, you know, that's Hollywood. They like them. They're humans. They think, oh, people like to watch movies about humans. Forget the freaking giant robots or the giant monster. No, it's the people. We're telling people stories. And I'm like, shut up and show Godzilla fighting, you morons. You're making a giant monster movie. You're not making a Lifetime movie of the week, a movie of the year kind of movie.
That's what those old kaiju movies in the days were good, because they focus on the monsters, not the people.
Exactly. I found a bunch of Godzilla movies in the $5 bin at Walmart, so now I own a bunch of Godzilla movies. But yeah, it's good to see that he liked it, because that was one of the things that I was, a lot of people were like, oh, wait, how are the Japanese fans going to react? And I think a lot of them were a bit on it. They like to make fun about how, oh, Godzilla's fat in this one. I'm like, oh, sure, last time we made him too skinny, this time he's too fat. Make up your minds.
Okay, we make him a marshmallow. There we go.
Yeah, it's like, wait a minute, this is just a Ghostbusters movie.
Say, shut up, man.
All right, let's move on.
Okay. Nisekoi's Nashikomi. Seems like my stomach has gone stretched out, or I'm eating more lately. And I'm noticing that my belly's getting flabbier every day. Uh-oh.
I noticed that, too. It sucks.
Mm.
All right,
I'm running out, too. It's slowing down.
I need to go run, but we're not quite in the point where it's cool enough to be able to run. But anyway, World Trigger's Daisuke Ashihara. I worked on the graphic novels during the Obon break. Volume 7 comes out in early September in Japan. Please check it out.
Oh, I would, but I'm not in Japan. Okay. Which is Tite Kubo. I had a dream when my editor told me he wanted to join Cirque du Soleil. I'm not sure if I should, but I should root for him or not.
Hmm. Like, well, it depends. Do you like your editor or not?
And all of a sudden, I have an idea for my next manga. A circus!
Yeah.
Well, considering Bleach kind of did become a bit of like a really boring circus in some ways, a rock circus.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, you can go ahead and do that if you want.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go ahead and do our rankings, shall we?
Ah, yes.
In fourth place, I'm going to put Bleach there.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It was fun. I liked it overall. It had that little clever bit with the... Oh, hey, look, we are, time travel and stuff. But, yep, anyway, yeah, let's see. Let's see, what's your number 4?
World Trigger.
Okay, cool. How come you like that one so much?
You know, I like how they actually killed somebody off for once, and you know, had a reason why, and they actually explained a bit about what the Black Trigger did to him. I'm like, dang, okay.
Indeed. True. All right, number three is going to be. Wait, what was my number three again? Crap. Toriko. That's it.
Okay.
I just like the way how they're being clever with let's harvest the fruit. It was fun. Okay. All right. And what's your number three?
Bleach.
Cool. You liked it more than I did then.
Yeah, because I liked the whole little Groundhog Day, and it actually made me go for a loop because I was like, wait, is Hitsuki actually talking? I thought he's a zombie. I thought zombies don't talk.
That's the next thing. First, we
I totally forgot about that. Yeah, right.
Yeah, the continuing ruination of the zombie. Of the zombie genre. First it was the runners, now it's the talkers. Gosh darn it.
Wait, talkers. That'd be weird if they actually talking that for there. But wait, what I was trying to refer to was how they were saying that when he got turned into a zombie, he got turned into one before he was it killed or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Curious.
Yes, yeah. That's why I'm confused, because, you know, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to totally. But, what's your number two?
My number two, let's see, is Nisekoi.
Okay.
Yeah, I just thought it was a lot of fun. You know, just in general, you can usually rely on Nisekoi most of the time to provide an entertaining chapter.
Okay.
Yeah, what was your number two?
I liked One Punch Man.
All right.
Other than the little tiny part finishing up for chapter six, but the one where they finally get to go into King, that was just pretty funny. Not to go with the One Piece reference there, but he was just clearly going King's Haki everywhere with that.
Yeah, that was quite a fun one. Yes. All right, let's see. Moving on. Number one, what was your number one?
One Piece.
Of course. It was One Piece. And, yeah, it just was fantastic. Good One Piece. All right, I think that about wraps us up there. Pardon me. So just remember, everyone, if you want your questions or your comments read on the air, go ahead and send us a email at burninglizardstudios@gmail.com. Don't forget to send us comments on burninglizardstudios.com. You can find us on Twitter at burninglizard. And yeah, so questions, comments, we'll read them on the air if you want us to. And that does that for this week. So we will see you next week. And in the meantime, well, remember, the manga is always better.
Ciao. Bye.